watchmen on the wall. We are watchmen on the wall.
God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to this station to another Watchmen on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Church. On the program today, I think we have a very exciting program, certainly one that's going to be quite informative. We are going to be discussing the proposed forthcoming edition of the NIV Bible, our version. Recently, the World Magazine, I believe, stirred up quite a controversy when it reported that the next edition of NIV would be gender neutral or feminist in its presentation. Of course, I think Zondervan, who publishes the NIV, has got into the controversy and have been denying, I think, that this is not going to be the case, or at least trying to depreciate the importance of the World article. We're going to be talking with Dr. Theodore Leedus. Dr. Leedus received his doctorate from the University of Edinburgh. He is the author of a booklet, A New Hearing for the Authorized Version. Marvin will be telling you about how you may obtain a copy of this booklet. Also, Dr. Leedus now has a new book, a very extensive book, The Ecclesiastical Text. You will certainly want to get a copy of this tremendous book, which is a defense of the Authorized Version. And by the way, Dr. Leedus will be with us later this month for a series of programs on textual criticism and the Authorized Version. That will be on June the 23rd. So we have had others speaking on the program on this subject, and we think these will be very important programs. Today, Dr. Leedus is going to be addressing the changes, or reported changes, or the forthcoming changes in the NIV, and it has been reported that the NIV is now the most popular Bible being purchased by church members across the country. The main reason of that, of course, is the seminaries are using it, pastors are using it, the sheep follow the shepherd. So this is an important development in the evolutionary changes that have occurred and are occurring in the NIV. Dr. Leedus, it's certainly good to have you with us. And just before the program, I was talking to you about the latest edition of National Liberty Journal, Jerry Falwell's publication, in which the journal also takes a very concerned view in regard to this new NIV edition that is coming out, the new international version. Now, I know that you have investigated this yourself. Could you come and comment about your views concerning this latest NIV edition that we are supposed to get in the year 2000.
Yes, Reverend Hutchings, thanks so much for having me address this subject. I have to tell you that when two or three colleagues of mine sent me photocopies of this expose that appeared in World Magazine March the 29th of 1997, I just could hardly believe it. I couldn't catch my breath. It was such a momentous development that somebody had the courage, after about 20 years of being completely unmolested, Zondervan, like a snowball going down to Mount Everest, has been gathering strength and power and just pushing everything aside in its path. Finally, someone has stopped and said, look, they're going too far here. They've gained a monopolistic stance over the evangelical English-speaking church, and now they feel like they've got such a position of power. They're owned by one of the largest multinational media moguls in the world, Rupert Murdoch. They feel themselves quite impenetrable now. They can begin to appeal to not just the evangelical world, but they want to appeal to the mainline churches as well. To quote from this initial article that came out, as I say, in March of 29 in World Magazine, the cover of the article is very provocative. It says, the stealth Bible, the popular New International Version Bible, is quietly going gender neutral. And the reason for this comes out in the article where the reporter, Susan Olasky, says, quote, appealing to both evangelicals and theological liberals, Zondervan has licked the platter clean. Zondervan notes that its NIV dominates the top 10 best-selling list of Bibles, and that doesn't include sales of the New Revised Standard Version. So you see, they really do think that they can pretty much pull this off, and so much so that the first edition of this inclusive language edition appeared in Britain already, and it's titled The Holy Bible, New International Version, Inclusive Language Edition, and it's published by the licensed publisher for the New International Version, which the International Bible Society doles out. The publisher's Potter and Stoughton. this is where all the controversy has come up, because here in the United States, nobody knew about this new NIV in Britain until World Magazine did this magnificent expose and pointed out that this has been done on the sly, if you will. It was something very quietly put out as a marketing possibility to see what kind of reaction they would get. In fact, the article points out that Hodder and Stoughton actually requested the International Bible Society to allow them to produce an inclusive language edition to keep up with the new Revised Standard Version, which they thought might have the possibility of eclipsing them. At heart, as we understand, it's marketing. They want bigger piece of the pie yet, even though they're already on the top of the mountain. And they're willing to now go out and appease those who are ideologically oriented towards feminist manipulation of the grammar in order to further the goals and the agenda of those who are driven by an egalitarian concept of religion and even Christianity. And here they're going to the Bible to fiddle about and further these aims. And a measure of how radical this move was and is the fact that somebody is safe and is establishment-oriented. He's at the very epicenter of neo-evangelical establishment. J.I. Packer is quoted in this expose, the second edition of it. The magazine had a follow-on in April 19, 1997, where Packer says, quote, "Adjustments made by what I call the feminist edition are not made in the interest of legitimate translation procedure. These changes have been made to pander to a cultural prejudice that I hope will be short-lived." Of course, they are now doing a lot of backtracking. They're trying to do damage control as much as possible. I spoke to the publisher of World Magazine on the phone just a few days ago. He said he was invited by the president of the Zondervan Corporation to come and have a talk with him about the two exposés that appeared in his magazine. And they were very irate with him, as you can well imagine. Their criticism is, "Mr. Belts, why did you not come to us? Why did you not come to the public relations people at Zondervan or the public relations people at the New International Bible Society? Why did you instead go to the committee who actually works on the NIV to get your information?" And of course, the answer to that is he was doing good journalism, Reverend Hutchings. He knew that you go right to the horse's mouth. You don't go to the public relations people who will keep you at arm's length and give you double talk. He went right to the people on the committee, and it's quite amazing what he discovered when he did that. To quote again from Mr. Walker, who is on the Committee for Bible Translation that produced the NIV, he said that, quote, "The Committee for Bible Translation in America is to have the unisex language version, quote, take the place of the other," and the other is the NIV that's currently in print. Mr. Barker, again, I'm quoting from the article, March 29, Mr. Barker says it will be the publisher's decision. Quote, "If our committee had its way, there would be no separate inclusive language edition," unquote. So you can see that there is some dissension on the committee itself, and therefore that was the place to go to get the information to write the expose. And so World Magazine has done an impeccable job and a tremendous service to the church.
Dr. Leedis, I would just like to quote from National Liberty Journal concerning the new NIV edition that evidently has already set, and I quote, "The March 29, 1907 edition of World Magazine carried the astonishing news of a decision on the part of the 15-member Committee for Biblical Translation for the New International Version not only to produce a revised gender-neutral edition of the NIV, but also to cease production of the present translation, which does not insist on the use of inclusive language." Susan Olasky, who wrote the World article, cites Gilbert Bilzikian, the determined egalitarian theologian resident at Willow Creek Church. He confidently prophesies that the feminist perspective will prevail in both evangelical and secular world. He chortles, quote, "It is a quiet reform movement that is unstoppable. In two or three generations from now, it won't even be an issue." Liberty continues, "If the NIV should continue with its present intention to reflect the politically correct posture of the secular world rather than to stick to translating the biblical text just as literally as possible within the bounds of the appropriate English grammar and style, the evangelicals should opt to purchase the NIV only with the same frequency that they presently drop by a bookstore to pick up a copy of the Revised Standard Version," end quote. So evidently the intentions of the NIV committee is to foster a gender-neutral Bible on the entire evangelical and orthodox and even liberal church establishment. In other words, the Zondervan Publishing and the Committee for Biblical Translation of the NIV foresees that they are going to have an inclusive, politically correct Bible, say, by the year 2000.
Yes. Now, whether they'll be able to have the nerve of their conviction remains to be seen. But here's a quote from Mr. Peterson, who is a spokesman for the two organizations. He said that, quote, this also appeared in World Magazine, April 19th. He said that, quote, all revisions, past and future, are done for the sole purpose of increasing the accuracy of the English rendering of what the original text says. Terms such as inclusive language, unisex language, and gender neutral can be seen as negative and politically charged. We object to being put in these camps in the World article. We intend in no way to advance a particular social agenda astray from the original biblical text. We have never identified with these phrases, nor will we ever. Now, this is a blatant contradiction, Reverend Hutchings, because there's actually a photocopy in the April 19th issue of the cover of this British NIV. And here he says, Mr. Peterson says, terms such as inclusive language, we object to, we'll never use. But on this cover of this British NIV, it says, New International Version, Inclusive Language Edition. Isn't that remarkable? So the NIV is already out as an inclusive language edition, and he's trying to say we will never use those terms because they're politically charged words. And here they've already used it in Britain. And so you can see the quality of this expose is absolutely stunning. I mean, to use a crude phrase, he's caught them with their pants down, and there's very little that they can do to salvage their project and back away from this because they've been found out. Now, what they have said, what they have charged World Magazine with is not incorrect reporting, not for stating facts that were not substantiated, but rather the chairman of Zondervan said that he didn't like the tone of the articles. That's what he didn't like. But that's something he's going to have to live with because this thing has been brewing for over 20 years, and finally someone has put the spotlight on it. Back in 1985, actually, I wrote an open letter to the Zondervan Corporation in response to a little pamphlet that they had put out titled A Readability Report on the New International Version. I'd like to read the conclusion of this open letter. It was a four-page letter. I said, quote, in short, your booklet is an admission to an abandonment of the priority of fidelity to the original in favor of the priority to communicate, which in turn is a functionality that best promotes the bottom line of profit. If not for the International Bible Society, at least for the profit-making corporation of Zondervan. And while you have succeeded in placing your own public relations men in nearly every conservative seminary in the United States in the persons of those commissioned to produce the NIV from the faculties of these seminaries, and while you and others continue to spend millions on advertising, both in the print media as well as prime-time television, depicting an absurd scenario, namely that were King James alive today, he would read a paraphrastic translation produced by sectarians and other non-Anglican divines, I would like to keep you mindful of the fact that there yet exists a minority, neither caught in the web of your machinations, nor blind to the history of the Protestant Bible, who will, in turn, leave a witness to the coming generations. Unquote. Now that has come to fruition almost 10 years later, well, 12 years later, 1997, with this magnificent expose in World Magazine by Susan Olasky and also Joe Belts, the publisher. It's absolutely fantastic that finally an expose of substantial credibility has put the spotlight on this. It's an unholy triangle between the International Bible Society, Zondervan, and the Committee for Bible Translations. And it's very interesting to see the sort of public relations dance they're doing now. I mean, the committee says, well, we're in charge, we make the final decisions here, but yet we find out it's not really a philological or a grammatical or a technical basis for these changes, but rather the marketing change that I suspect comes from Zondervan, not from the International Bible Society or the Committee for Bible Translations. But it comes from the profit-making corporation, who I suspect is really in control and makes the decisions as to what changes are made and what won't be made. Although Mr. Walker tells us, who's on the committee, that the ultimate decision is the publisher's. And the publisher says, no, it's the committee. And the committee says, no, we just do what the International Bible Society tells us to do. So you can see no one can assume the blame. It's just being shifted around this triangle. It doesn't seem to land anywhere.
I knew Pat Zondervan, one of the founders of Zondervan Publishing Company. In fact, I believe Zondervan, back in the 50s and 60s, even published a couple of the books I wrote. Nevertheless, we know that Zondervan was purchased by another organization. And as I have noted, if you took the profit motive out of most of these newer versions, there wouldn't be any of these newer versions that are coming out with politically correct and inclusive language. It's evident that the intentions of the NIV people, whether they are the Committee for Biblical Translation or Zondervan, ever who is responsible, the NIV is copyrighted. The English version, which has already come out and will supposedly appear here in the United States by the year 2000, evidently the English version was a test to see how people would react. It will have feminist language throughout, as I understand. Is that right, Dr. Leedis?
A couple of examples, actually, because Wayne Gruden, who is professor at Trinity Evangelical Theological Divinity School, rather, has cited 15 examples of the changes that have taken place in the British edition. For example, Genesis 1, 26, 27, the old NIV said, "And then God said, let us make man in our image." So God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. Now that's a fairly literal translation of the Hebrew. The inclusive language edition says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image." So God created human beings in his own image. Male and female, he created them. And that's the kind of change that's found throughout this inclusive language edition, which does not reflect the technicality of the underlying Hebrew word at all. That's the thing that enrages me. Kenneth Barker, secretary of the Committee for Bible Translation, says in the March 29 article, quote, "These changes reflect new insights on the meanings of Greek and Hebrew words and shifts in English idiom." Well, that's just double talk for saying we're going to make our Bible appeal to a subset of English usage in order to gain an entirely new market. But he's using a technical argument in order to produce this, and they've been doing this for 20 years. The NIV is based on better manuscripts, better archaeological and historical insights on the ancient Near East, and all the rest of this hoopla. And really, here, what's going on is not grounded in the imperatives of the language itself, but it's grounded in the current social and cultural situation. And J.I. Packer just put his finger right on that. He said, I'm going to quote him again, it's so good. Quote, "Adjustments made by what I call the feminist edition are not made in the interest of legitimate translation procedures." So he's actually pitting himself against Kenneth Barker, the secretary of the Committee for Bible Translation of the NIV. He says, "These changes have been made to pander to a cultural prejudice that I hope will be short-lived." So I'm sure Professor Packer believes that eventually Zondervan will come to their senses and not follow through with this, but it remains to be seen. There's a whole market to be gained, and whether even somebody as powerful as J.I. Packer can turn the current, I don't know.
Doesn't the NIV have to be updated every 10 years anyway?
In other words, it's justification for making any alterations they need to keep up with marketing requirements. Because everyone knows that the English language does not change that frequently, unless you're going to be completely geared to absolute colloquialism and euphemism and slang. Then in those areas, of course, the English language does change quite a bit. But the core of the language doesn't change just to an extent that every 10 years you need to revise it. But the reason they have that clause is for marketing purposes. If there's some adjustment they need to make to gain a new market, they'll do it. I mean, there are like over 10 different editions of the NIV out at the moment just to capture every imaginable niche. I'm going to read a few of them. These are all editions of the NIV: the Quest Study Bible, the New Student Bible, Woman's Devotional Bible, the Adventure Bible, the Teen Study Bible, Men's Devotional Bible, Couples Devotional Bible, the NIV Life Application Bible, the NIV Study Bible, and finally, the Youth Walk Devotional Bible. I don't even know. Can't imagine what that is. Is that for Boy Scouts? I don't know.
Dr. Leedis, we know that to the program today, there are many, many pastors listening, many, many Sunday school teachers, many, many Christians who have a copy of the NIV. We go to the scriptures themselves, and where the Lord said, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall never pass away," there is a divine preservation of scripture. Even the concluding verses to the book of Revelation has a stern judgment in store for those who would change, intentionally change, the Word of God, even the matter of distribution or a matter of profit.
In that vein, I'd like to quote from one of the most highly esteemed Greek grammarians in the 20th century. His name is Nigel Turner. And on that vein, on that point precisely, Reverend Hutchings, he said this. He said, quote, in his book, Christian Words, "The language of the church had better be the language of the New Testament. To proclaim the gospel with new terminology is hazardous when much of the message and valuable overtones that are implicit in the New Testament might be lost forever," unquote. So once you move away from the actual verbal foundation of the biblical text and Greek in the New Testament, there's no way to reel it back in. once you put the Bible in the hands of the culture and the ebb and flow of cultural, linguistic, and ideological shifts, it's absolutely impossible to reel it all back in. That's why the Bible has to be grounded on the original biblical languages and not be allowed to tether out into the stormy seas of cultural change and ideological assault coming from any sector. The Bible has to just be transcultural. It's not meant to be something that's keyed to every nuance of the 20th century situation. It's meant to be a window to something beyond us and above us and outside of us. I'm afraid the older Bibles have preserved that with much more integrity than the NIV and some of the more paraphrastic editions.
Thank you, Dr. Leidis, for being with us today. Dr. Leidis has authored a booklet, A New Hearing for the Authorized Version. Also, he has a book coming out that's just now off the press this month, The Ecclesiastical Text. This is a very thorough study of the manuscripts from which our Bible came from, through Tyndale and other early reformers and scriptural preservers, and also the book based upon the Textus Receptus and the Majority Text. We certainly trust that you will consider writing for a copy of Dr. Leidis' book, A New Hearing for the Authorized Version, and also the much larger volume, The Ecclesiastical Text. Dr. Leidis will also be with us in our meeting, forthcoming All-Day Prophecy Conference in Atlanta. You may want to call and inquire about information concerning our forthcoming Prophecy Conference in Atlanta. Here now is Marvin to tell you how you may obtain a copy of either one of these excellent works by Dr. Leidis on standing up for the Authorized Version or the King James Version.
Thank you, Pastor Hutchings, and thank you, Mr. Leidis. Just for the record, I want to remind everyone that this program was recorded in April of this year. Since that time, according to a report posted on the Internet, dated May 28th of this year, quote, the International Bible Society announced that it is killing a gender-neutral translation of the New International Version of the Bible, unquote. The story goes on to say it was a victory for people who objected to so-called political correctness and feminism. Said one man, quote, you don't compromise scripture just to make women feel included, unquote. If you would like to study this matter in more detail, we have a booklet by Mr. Leidis titled, A New Hearing for the Authorized Version. You may have a copy for a gift of $5 to this ministry. To order, call us toll-free at 1-800-652-1144. Also available is the new book by Mr. Leidis titled, The Ecclesiastical Text. This is a marvelous study on why scholars need to return to the Textus Receptus and the Majority Text, which the King James Bible is based on. You may have a copy of this book for a gift of $25. Again, to order, call us toll-free at 1-800-652-1144. Stay tuned over most of these stations for our Bible in the News report, and join Pastor Hutchings tomorrow for another edition of the Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church.